Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist here on Real Liberty Media. I'm going to invite you at this time of year, fall, my favorite season, kind of kicks off what I know is going to be like 6 to 9 months of cooler weather, some awesome storms, maybe thunderstorms, some freezing rain, snow. Come along with me and catch up on some shows over at Real Liberty Media. You can listen to Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony. He's going to arm you for some counter propaganda tactics. Listen to the Dork Table, all kinds of interesting conversations going on there. You can also catch It's All Connected. Grimner and Circle will kind of connect all the dots for you, no matter what the subject, they're going to connect it up for you. And Free Your Mind is a great show, talks about liberty and freedom. Those two, Grimner and Moose Girl, have a great show. Some great archives there. Listen to them and kind of become familiar with being totally free. Ponder Gander has some great topics. He's a deep thinker with a lot of good subject matter. You can catch me, the Redneck Dentist. And we also have two musical shows you can listen to, the Sunday Blues, which are archived, and the Top 10 Countdown, which has top 10 songs from years past with a little bit of history or behind-the-scenes story on each one. So join me, the Redneck Dentist, over on Real Liberty Media, catching up on some of these archived podcasts. It's a great time of year to do it. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Hope you guys are all having a great weekend. And life is good here. Thought I'd start out with just something a little different to bring up the energy level a bit. So I hope you enjoyed that AC/DC tune in the beginning, Thunderstruck, one of my favorites. In fact, it's probably the only concert I went to when I was in dental school. I just remember when I went to that concert, it was at the end of my senior year. I think I had graduated already. And we went to this concert, Thunderstruck, AC/DC concert, and I just remember, like, for 3 days afterwards, my ears were ringing. Like, it was unbelievably loud, but an incredible concert to go to. All right, so lots of things happening, as per usual. Have a lot of stuff to talk about, of course. And let's get into it. Wait. Should we get into it? Yeah, we should get into it. No, we should drink. That's what we should do. Maybe. Yeah, I made some... I know you guys are probably tired of hearing me talking about audio, but I hope you guys... if you listen to the podcast later, you might notice a change. I took out some bass, and I got rid of some... like audio gain on some of the buses, and I think it's going to be a lot smoother. I've tested it quite a few times, and it seems like it's pretty good, so I think we're okay. Anyway, I said a few months ago, I thought I was going to quit talking about Anthony Fauci, and I think in the future, we should really just refer to him as AF, like AF. We'll just call him AF. I think that's appropriate. And I am going to talk about him today later on in the show, because I don't think, I guess until we get to the point, personally for me, until this guy is arrested, until he is put on trial for multiple offenses, I'm just not going to give up. And every time I hear something new, I'm just going to add it to the list. Every time I come up with more information that I think I can help spread the word, I am going to keep after this guy. I will never let it rest until this is over with. It is incredible what a tremendous failure this guy is, and how he has lasted this long, God only knows, really. I saw Grimner on a couple. No, I saw that Grimner was on once or twice earlier this week. That is awesome. I wish I would have caught him live. That would have been cool. I had a little issue with my, not really issue with my recovery, with my cataract surgery. I'm going to explain to you guys a little something that went on. It's kind of weird. So Monday, I had a follow-up appointment. And at that appointment, the doc told me to quit. So after cataract surgery, at least I guess it's kind of normal, you have three different eye drops that you have to put in your eye four times a day. And one is an steroidal anti-inflammatory, one is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, and one is an antibiotic. Well, at Monday, I hope you guys didn't hear me burp, sorry. Monday, he told me to quit using the anti-inflammatories. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So now I only have to use the antibiotic one? That's cool. Well, Tuesday, I woke up and I went to work and I felt pretty horrible. Like, not my eye, but overall, I kind of felt horrible. And then, in addition to that, my eye was bugging me. And so I'm at work, like, you know, just getting ready to see people. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing this. I don't feel good. I'm not going to give my patients the best of me today, so I'm not doing this. And I came home. And here's what happened. A couple of things happened. Wait, I think it was Wednesday, actually. Yeah, so Tuesday I was at work. Wednesday I went to work, and then I went home. So what happened was Tuesday, number one, I didn't drink enough fluid, so I was dehydrated by the time Wednesday came around. I put all this together later. Like, I was like, why in the heck did I feel so crappy? So I was really busy on Tuesday, which I'm normally busy, but I normally have time to go sit at my desk for a bit and, you know, just drink water. And for some reason, I didn't on Tuesday, which kind of caused stuff. You know, just you feel lousy, you're dehydrated, you know, you don't feel good. You got to keep the hydration up. And then the other thing was that steroidal anti-inflammatory, I don't know if you guys know this, but steroids in the short term make you feel really good. Like, I know when I've had steroid shots before, I mean, they make you feel good, but they also kind of, at least for me, don't allow me to go to sleep when I want to go to sleep. So I think they kind of suck. But anyway, so I had quit taking, putting the steroidal anti-inflammatory in my eye. I was dehydrated, so I felt crappy. But of course, that steroid coming off of the steroid, even though it's put in your eye, it still gets absorbed in your system. It probably was kind of making me feel pretty good. And then when I dropped it, you know, it made me feel sucky. So that wasn't cool. Anyway, all better now. Everything's fine. You know, it's not like I was sick or anything. I just didn't feel good. So, and we're going to talk a little bit about some opioid use later. I know that doesn't really connect very well, but what we're going to talk about today is going to lead us into this opioid discussion. And I was kind of looking to see, like, I was putting all this information together, what a tremendous failure AF is. And, I mean, he's a failure AF, that's what I should say. AF is a failure AF. Anyway, was putting that information together, I keep coming across this tremendous increase in opioid overdose deaths. And I'm thinking to myself, so why is that happening? And I'm going to get into it a little bit later. Like, I don't know really why it's happening. I know there's a lot of people out there with some opinions. And I think, like I've said in the past, in the long run, we are going to find out why this is happening or why it happened or is happening during this pandemic. But first, I want to talk about a couple kind of funner things. One thing, I guess the reason I thought this was fun is because I know exactly what's going to happen with this. And and it kind of sucks. I have to open up a document. You guys are going to have to just stick with me a minute while I do this, because I like to have those links in front of me, and I don't. So now I will, because, you know, you can have the link on paper, but it really doesn't do you a lot of good, does it, on paper? Can't click the link. Anyway, okay, so you know, I get all kinds of information in my inbox. A lot of it is news, and some of it is, like, I get some stuff from space.com, and I get some stuff from Live Science. And I thought this was really crazy. And when I was reading it, I was so fascinated, and then I was thinking, oh, yeah, but, you know the story. So this is the story. It says, within an Antarctic sea squirt, scientists discover a bacterial species with promising anti-melanoma properties. And I was like, you know, that is really cool. I mean, how many times have we heard, you know, stories about something from nature that heals? You know, cannabis, for example, is a fantastic plant with great medicinal value that, of course, we made illegal for decades and, you know, took that away from people who could have really used it. And luckily, we're kind of smartening up now. But anyway, here's the deal. So the sea squirt has some kind of bacteria that prevents melanomas, you know, a skin cancer. I think it's one of the most common skin cancers, maybe other than squamous cell. But no, I think melanoma is probably the most common skin cancer, I would say. Well, you know, so they have this bacteria that will, you know, prevent melanomas from forming or kill melanomas, or they can use it for fighting cancer. At least that's what their hope is. And I was reading this story, I was thinking, man, that is awesome, because so many people actually, you know, get melanomas for whatever reason. As a matter of fact, this is kind of how my wife and I met, sort of. She was wearing a top that was kind of low cut in the back. And actually, she worked for me at the time, and I saw this spot on her back, and I said, hey, I said, you know, you have this spot on your back? And she didn't know. And I said, it looks different to me. You know, it's one of those things you should get checked out. And sure enough, she went to the doc and had it checked out, and it was a melanoma, and they had to cut it out, and they had cut it out pretty deeply. And you know, so it kind of has something to do with why we met. It really has nothing to do with why we met, but it was just one of those things, you know, and it was just, you know, fortunate that I saw it. I mean, she was at work. I was at work. It wasn't like we were naked in the closet or anything. Yeah, then she had to marry me, right? Yeah. But anyway, what I was thinking is, you know, it's so promising that we have another thing from nature that could be, you know, beneficial, you know, to us, or to anybody and anything who gets melanomas, because I don't think sea squirts get melanomas, but they must have a reason why they have this bacteria that prevents them. But here's what's going to happen. If it is successful, we will never hear from it again. You know, it will never be put into practice, probably, like so many things that get swept under the rug or, you know, hidden after the beneficial properties are found. Right, it's not a moneymaker for Big Pharma. You know, they don't want you to be healed. They want you to be sick so that you can constantly have to purchase their products. And that's really kind of the sad thing about the whole kind of medical industry, in a way, is, you know, you can't really blame doctors, because they get what, you know, what they are fed. In other words, they can't just go out on their own and come up with a solution and say, here, do this because this is going to heal you. Because if it's not approved by the AMA, which probably also answers to Big Pharma, I mean, I would imagine the AMA is owned by Big Pharma. If Big Pharma doesn't tell them, you know, if all the societies involved don't kind of approve the treatment, well, guess what? Then if you use that treatment and it's not approved, now you've malpracticed and you're going to be sued and lose your license. And I mean, it's no joke. I'll tell you guys the truth. Like, I've had, I think, 3 complaints that went to the Oregon Dental Board. I think 3 in whatever it's been, 40 years or something I've been doing this. And it literally makes you sick, even though you know you didn't do anything, like you didn't do anything wrong. And usually this is usually what happens. It usually has absolutely nothing to do with your treatment because, okay, I'll be honest. I know some doctors, some dentists who suck, like literally provide treatment that is unnecessary. I'm not one of those people because I don't care. I don't need to make any more money for one thing, but I've never been that way. I always thought I just want to provide the best solution for my patient, whatever it is. I don't care how much it costs. You know, your patient has to decide what they want to do with, you know, their means. And believe me, I've given tons of dentistry away just because it was the right thing to do and the patient didn't have the money, and oh well, that's the way it goes. And I can tell you, I've never missed a meal because of it. But when you get that letter in the mail, you know, it comes registered and it's to you and it's from the dental board, and God, your entire life just comes to a screeching halt. Because they, you know, once they receive a complaint, they take all complaints seriously. And once they receive a complaint, they're obligated to investigate. And when, I don't know if this is just a bureaucratic thing or not, but I'm going to tell you. So when the Oregon Dental Board contacts you, well, of course, they'll tell you that they want a copy of the patient's record. They want a copy of any x-rays. They want to see your diagnosis. They want to see your treatment. And then they'll ask you a bunch of crap that has nothing to do with the case, but it's just because they can. And now you've come up on their radar. And they'll ask you stuff, and I'll explain this. They'll ask you for your sterilization monitoring data, and it won't be for the last 6 months. It won't be for the last 60 days. They'll say, we would like to see your sterilization monitoring from June of 2017 to September of 2018, or some bizarre, totally unconnected span of time. And so then you've got to go find your records, which now they're all digital, which is kind of nice. And you have to, you know, you have to provide that to them. Oh, and then they'll say, oh, and then can you provide us a list of all the continuing education you've had? But it won't be for the current cycle. It'll be for, yeah, we'd like to see all the continuing education you've had from 2018 to 2020. You know, and how many hours did you take? If it was online, was it in person? You know, it's, and I'm telling you. And the other thing is, they are not fast at getting results. They take for flipping ever, and they're in no hurry to give you any relief so that you can go about your business. I mean, they don't stop you from practicing, I guess, unless you killed somebody. They probably would stop you for a while to make sure that you didn't do something stupid, which if you killed somebody, you obviously did something stupid. But the fact that every day you're going to work with that burden on your shoulders, just waiting for them to dismiss the case, or sometimes they just tell you, hey, just would you write a letter to this patient and, you know, apologize, or, you know, would you refund the money or whatever, you know, and yeah, it's a huge pain in the ass. But anyway, so I imagine the AMA is the same way. You know, it's another bureaucracy, and, you know, if you practice, if you do something that isn't approved, practice. And this is why you saw that ivermectin became, or ivermectin, whichever one you kind of want to go with. They both are on the market, by the way. So, but the reason that, you know, you couldn't really get it is because, you know, the bureaucracy said, hey, if you give ivermectin to your COVID patients, we're going to charge you with malpractice. And good God almighty, I'm telling you, if you've been through a few of those kind of, you know, investigations, you really don't want to do it again. You really got to have some big cojones to decide that you're going to go ahead and go against the board, you know, and do it anyway. But, you know, luckily there are some guys out there who are. I know that I've seen people in the chat this week who have people who got, you know, whatever virus they got. And fortunately, I think that they're able to get ivermectin or ivermectin. I think ivermectin is a commercial name. Anyway, so I doubt that we're going to see the C-squirt anti-melanoma bacteria do anything for us anytime soon. You know what what will happen is, you know, Big Pharma will get a hold of it. They'll figure out whatever chemical interaction it is that the bacteria is producing to kill the melanoma. And then they'll synthetically produce something that's crappy, but sort of does the same thing. And then they'll start charging you for it. You know, I guess melanoma, as long as you catch it early, they pretty much cut it out and, you know, you're done with it. They got to do some follow-ups and, you know, to make sure it's not coming back. And, you know, you got to be kind of tested. And I'll turn off my phone so it doesn't do that again. I don't know if y'all heard that, but sorry. Okay. The next thing was, so when I was looking at that C-squirt thing, on the side panel, there was an article about graphene, and it was actually about, you know, some college or, I don't know, research facility trying to make graphene stick to a sapphire surface, which, you know, the reason it caught my attention is because, number one, I'd heard that there was graphene in the jab juice. And I was like, okay, well, let's go see what this graphene does, you know, because I hear people are kind of going crazy about graphene. And it was an interesting article. And I guess in some ways it could be scary. I'm not going to explain a lot about it, but what I am going to do is I'm going to link this article in the show notes, and you can kind of go read this article yourself. There is stuff in there that made me kind of wonder why there's graphene in something that you would put in your body. You know, while I'm on it, I think my voice is going, sorry, hang on. While I'm at it, you know, they said that this platform that they were, you know, putting in people who are getting a jab, you know, that it was going to be so great because it's a platform that they could do all of this stuff from. And when you look at this article on graphene and see what graphene does, or what kind of things they can do with graphene, I think it'll make you kind of wonder, like, why in the heck is graphene in anything we would put inside us? Yeah, I've heard they're like razor blades. That's kind of worrisome, isn't it? Beth in the chat said that. I've seen that too. So anyway, you guys can check that out. Read that article yourself. I'll probably read it this week again and maybe try and find some other things, and we can talk about it like next week. And maybe you guys can give me kind of your input into this particular article, which was kind of technical. I'll tell you, that's kind of why I didn't want to discuss it on the show today. But you can kind of look at it and tell me what you think. Okay, now this next story, I started reading this, and then I just busted out laughing. Because I guess because I'm old school, because I'm not woke enough for today's society. So let me bring this link up to this. I thought this was going to be a really interesting article. This is what the title says. Statistical methods used to estimate when canine teeth shrunk in modern humans. Okay, so the idea here is that, you know, and like one of my arguments always with people that I have these kind of arguments with, you know, whether we should be meat eaters or not, has always been that, you know, we have canines because we used to grab our meat with our mouths, and those canines kind of puncture meat and hold it still until you're ready to eat it. Well, so listen to why one of the reasons that these researchers think that our canines have shrunk. This is what made me bust out laughing so hard. It says, researchers believe that modern male humans once had much larger canine teeth, but they shrunk in size over time, possibly due to the reaction of females to overly aggressive males. Okay. I suppose that could be true, but it kind of goes against everything that we see in nature. Just for example, and I am not saying that humans are lions, but just take for example, you know, the king of the jungle is the king because he's the biggest and baddest of the jungle. And until somebody else comes along who's bigger and badder than him, he's the king. And he goes and mates with the females. And yeah, it's an ugly scene out there because usually when the male moves in, takes over a territory, he kills all the cubs and he impregnates all the females and they start anew with, you know, his gene pool. So why, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of years ago, our female counterparts would have looked at us males with our giant canines and said, yeah, I think I'll I think I'll go with that one over there whose canines aren't so big. And you can see why, of course, a dentist would have been interested in this story, like, oh, that'd be interesting. I'd like to see. Why did our canines get smaller? Oh, it's because the females didn't like them. Yeah, I'm not buying it. I wish them the best of luck with their research. I could save them some money, I guess, but I'm fairly certain they won't listen to me. I'm fairly certain they won't listen to me. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so, okay. So I try to put some kind of fun stuff in the show so that, you know, when I get to the horrible, stupid crap, which I'm getting to, you know, at least we kind of started off with some good stuff. Maybe I should turn that around a bit. Maybe I should start off with really ugly crap and then have kind of a palate cleanser at the end. Or maybe I'll put the nasty stuff in the middle and then, you know, have funner stuff at the beginning and then at the end. I don't know. But Anyway, I was really hoping to have some kind of a little bit lighthearted stuff today, and hopefully you guys enjoyed that bit. Okay, so now, because things are going to get ugly from this point forward, but I'm sure it's nothing that anybody here, mostly everybody here, is pretty well aware of, you know, what's going on in the world. So, you know, not going to be too surprising to anybody, but I thought it was interesting. So I call this Awesome Jobs and Economic Recovery Under Biden. Yeah, no kidding, right? And it says, according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, non-farm payrolls increased by just 210,000 for the month, well below the Dow Jones estimate of 573,000. Now, why Dow Jones kind of predicts what employment's going to do, I have no idea. But they missed it by more than double. So the figure also came in slightly below October's job gains, which totaled 531,000, which that seems really weird. So I guess October was a good month, and then this was a horrible month. And it says, experts had believed that steady job growth would continue into the holiday season, but that has evidently not been the case. The report specifically noted that retail trade, one of the sectors hit hardest by the pandemic, actually declined over the month. The news also indicated that hiring began to slow even before the detection of the new Omicron coronavirus variant. So just so you know, when people start saying, oh, well, Omicron caused this big, you know, jobs decrease. So no, it didn't. It was declining before Omicron even showed its ugly little head, which really isn't so ugly, I guess. So Omicron wasn't detected until Thanksgiving weekend, which, as we all know, is pretty much the end of November. But Nevada's going to make sure that even more unemployment affects at least their state, because they are the first state to actually place a surcharge on employees. Now, this really did kind of blow me away, because, I mean, you think of Nevada, you're like, okay, you know, the state that, you know, you can actually go and get hookers, like, legally, and, you know, it's kind of a wild and crazy place. If you've been to Vegas, you know, it's pretty out of control. Not out of control, it's actually a riot. It's a very busy place. If you've never been to Vegas, go, at least for a few days. It is crazy how electric Las Vegas is. But anyway, so Nevada's going to put a surcharge on unvaxxed employees. They're going to charge them $55 a month. I think this is just the Public Employees Benefit Program Board. But you can bet, you know, if it's like anything else, they're going to try and pass it on to the private sector, or demand that private sector starts. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that you're just going to work, you're working at the local grocery store? I don't know what you guys have, but, you know, like the local grocery here, my favorite is a little place called Ross, Roths. But we have Albertsons and Safeway. Yeah, who knows, some other ones. I don't really go to them if I can avoid it. But can you imagine you're just going to work and you're just, and there, you know, your employee just says, so, hey, we're going to take $55 a month out of your pay until you get the jab. Yeah, you're going to just say, no, I'm done. You know, my Uber's here. I got to go. And what's even crazier, I guess, is the approved proposal also stipulates a surcharge of $175 a month for workers' spouses, partners, and dependents 18 years or older. So I'm pretty sure Nevada is going to come to a screeching halt in no time. I don't know how many, like what their percentage of jabbed and unjabbed people are, but it seems to me like this is a ton. Could be a huge setback for Nevada. I mean, why would you go to work? They're going to take, okay, so just let's say, so 175 and 55 is like $200 and something a month they're going to take out of your paycheck. I mean, and even if you are a public employee and you're making pretty good money and pretty good benefits, that's a lot to take away from somebody. Yeah, I think they're all going to leave, I'm pretty sure. Okay, we got to get Cruz in here. So it's kind of funny. I always think I'm not going to have enough stuff for Showtime, and then I have, like, way too much. Oh, yeah. But I thought this was a great story, too. So this is kind of awesome because you guys know if you've listened to my show, listened to previous podcasts, I occasionally, okay, regularly bring up the Uyghur Muslims in China and how they're forced into slavery. There's millions of them that have been, you know, put into concentration camps, basically. They call them re-education camps. But, you know, yeah, they are what they are. So Senator Marco Rubio wants to see a controversial, I don't know why, but it's put in quotes, controversial amendment added. This is to the finance thing, the new budget. Amendment added, which his office is saying Dems are blocking based on the false pretenses, based on procedural issues that would ban any imports from China that are suspected of being produced with Uyghur slave labor. However, supporters say it shouldn't be a source of controversy at all, given several human rights groups support it, and it should be consistent with the Biden administration's general human rights stance on China. Today we have American corporations using slaves in China, which is true. I mean, you can go find this stuff yourself. And here's what I wish everybody who supports the Democrats, all the minorities, would understand. They do not like you. They just use you to continue to get elected. They don't care about minorities. They don't care about human rights. They're trying to block this amendment, which, I mean, for crying out loud, all it's asking is to allow, you know, to not allow products into this country that are made with slave labor. I mean, really, is that something that you're going to object to publicly? That's why they're trying to block it with some other, you know, kind of technical maneuverings, is because they don't want to just say, well, we don't care about the Uyghur Muslims in China, and we don't care about human rights violations. We don't care that women are gang raped and, you know, forced into labor and, you know, they're fed bread and water. I mean, you know, the conditions are horrible that these people live and work under. But, you know, we don't care as long as we're getting our Pfizer and Moderna and Nikes and Samsung and Apple and who else was, everybody was on that list. Microsoft, you know, I think one of my shows I listed 80 different companies that use Uyghur slaves. And they're not companies that you don't know. They are companies that you know, that you're well aware of. They're companies that you probably have some of their products in your, you know, house, car, work, whatever. Not unusual at all. Not rare companies at all. As a matter of fact, I mean, how horrible is it that we have these gigantic companies that are very well off. They're very rich, successful, profitable companies, but they somehow feel like they have to use slave labor to increase their profits even more. I'm telling you, greed, man. Greed drives so many people to doing the wrong things. I was kind of surprised that I actually saw this in print too.
Yeah. It says the action springs from widespread reports over the past couple of years that the Chinese state has placed some 1 million ethnic Uyghur Muslims in a network of communist re-education and forced labor camps. Beijing officials have admitted to the existence of such facilities, but while U.S. leaders have condemned the slave camps, China's government has presented them as merely tantamount to job training and assistance programs, or a halfway house of sorts. Yeah. Okay. We believe you. Just, what was it? Job training and assistance programs, or a halfway house of sorts. And you probably hear one of my dogs bark in the other room. That's okay. He must be annoyed at something or somebody. He's the old man of the house. Okay. Now, before I get into tearing apart AF some more, I came across some comments. Like when I was going and finding information on chat rooms or newsrooms that have comments, I guess I wasn't surprised to see this, but it did really kind of bother me. And I don't know why. It didn't bother me in a way that, like, I'm emotionally disturbed. I was just like, what good did this do? Okay. So before I get into this, I wanted to comment on some things I saw in reference to AF. I saw AF, Anthony Fauci, if anybody has any doubts. I saw many comments and related articles that he is a Jew doing what Jews do. And I was thinking to myself, like, what good is that comment? I guess I find it odd that people have to put those kind of comments into discussions. Like, I don't give an F what race this guy is, what his religious beliefs are, what his gender identity is, or what his pronoun preferences are. I just want him held accountable for what he has done. It seems few of us, although I hope our numbers are growing rather than shrinking, will remember and relay the truths of AF. The mainstream media has put him on a pedestal as one person who could slay the beast, so to speak. So what is the truth as we know it? AF's policies have done the following, directly and indirectly causing the most deaths of any doctor in the history of the world. I know that's a stretch, but I'm pretty much sticking with it. And so much for the Hippocratic Oath. Oh, and I got this from the book, The Real Anthony Fauci. And I mean, I am kind of paraphrasing from Robert Kennedy Jr., so sorry. But, you know, there's some of my own comments in here too, but most of the information I got from this book. But actually, you've heard this before on my show. Most of what you're going to hear, you've heard on my show before. So thanks to him for kind of compiling it, and then I put together some of my own stuff. His unprecedented quarantine of the healthy would kill far more people than COVID, obliterate the global economy, plunge millions into poverty and bankruptcy, and grievously wound constitutional democracies globally. We can't yet determine the number of people who have died from isolation, unemployment, deferred medical care, depression, mental illness, obesity, stress, overdose, suicide, addiction, alcoholism, and accidents that often accompany despair. The U.S. life expectancy decreased by 1.9 years during the quarantine. That's just so far. 1.9 years U.S. Life expectancy has shrunk. Now, in some of the researchers' comments, they said, like, you know, they find like 0.1 year to be significant in normal years when they kind of look back and see if there's been an increase or decrease in life expectancy. Here we've lost 1.9 years in just the 20 months or whatever it's been since, well, 2 years since we've had COVID around. Well, maybe not in the United States, but probably it's been here 2 years. So that's kind of a huge difference. And between 2018 and 2020, The average Hispanic American lost around 3.9 years, and the Black Americans have lost about 3.25 years, according to a study peer-reviewed and published in the BMJ, which I tried to find out what BMJ stood for. I actually went and looked at the source material, and it's just BMJ. I think it was British Medical Journal at one point, but it doesn't ever really say that. But let's just say it's a British journal. Peer-reviewed, it's open source kind of material. This loss of life expectancy was 8.5 times higher than in 16 comparable countries, mostly due to those countries not following the USA's lead in dealing with the virus. So globally, 300 million humans fell into dire poverty, food insecurity, and starvation. 10,000 children died each month due to virus-linked hunger from global lockdowns. You don't see that on MSN. So, I mean, usually if it bleeds, it leads, and piles of dead bodies are a gold mine to expose the current administration of any country for their wrongdoing. So, and what's crazy to me, I mean, I remember like 20, 30 years ago, my wife and I'd be sitting around watching TV, and there'd be some report of a plane crash, and we'd be like, okay, well, they'll be showing all the bodies in the water. If it was an air crash or a water crash, we'll be like, oh, they'll be showing all the bodies here in a minute. And sure enough, they'd show all the bodies piled up or floating around from an aircraft that went down in the ocean or on land or whatever. You know, they would have to get the body shot in there or the blood in there. And like you, if there are 10,000 children who died each month, why isn't that being shown? Why isn't the mainstream media covering that? I mean, that's pretty much directly... There's nobody else in the world who has made the recommendations for countries to do what they do. Thank God, you know, a lot of countries didn't follow AF's recommendations to the letter. I didn't write it in my notes, but I think like the number of deaths per 100,000 people in the U.S. was like 2,000, a little over 2,000 deaths per 100,000. And the next closest country was like 1,000. So we were 2 times higher. You know what is considered to be, and you've heard me kind of complain about this before, what's considered to be like the place where all this fantastic knowledge and technology comes from. Got a drink, sorry. You know, supposedly the best and brightest minds in the world, and we had the absolute worst reaction to whatever gadget this is. The worst, because we have AF at the helm. That's the only reason that we have the worst response to this man-made bioweapon, COVID-19. Yeah, and I don't see the bodies piled up anywhere. I don't see them on TV. You never hear them mentioned. You don't hear this mentioned anywhere, which is why I'm not going to stop until something is done. And why? I mean, I don't know these children, but it's the right thing to do. And it's the wrong thing to do to not accept responsibility for that. 500,000 children per month experienced wasting and stunting from malnutrition, permanently damaging them physically and mentally, transforming individual tragedies into a generational catastrophe. In 2020, 228,000 children were killed in South Asia due to disruptions in health and nutritional services. 228,000 gone. Why? Because we interrupted the flow of medical aid and food to countries For what reason? Because we're going to sneeze? Because we're going to have a runny nose? And I know some people out there are very sick with some virus or whatever it is. It could be a COVID. It could be a COVID. True. It could be COVID-19. And some people are really sick. And yeah, it's really scary. But remember, you know, most people are going to survive it. The average age of people killed, I think it was 82.5 years old. So, you know, if you're under that and you don't have any mitigating circumstances, comorbidities, you know, you're likely going to survive it. Yeah, you're going to feel like crap, but you're likely going to survive it. But guess what? These hundreds of thousands of children didn't. And nobody is covering that. I saw that moron. I saw that AF on, talking about the Omicron variant. I should have captured that audio too, but didn't. But he said, you know, the booster will likely, you know, keep you from being as sick as if you didn't get the booster. And I, again, just laughed out loud, thinking to myself, when are people going to quit listening to this moron? You can say nothing other than AF is a dismal, catastrophic failure. His policies have killed far more people, it looks like. I haven't actually run the numbers yet myself. I think I probably will. I mean, now that we can start getting our hands on some of these numbers and see how many kind of indirect deaths, I call them direct deaths, he has caused through his policies. Because these numbers are adding up, and they're only going to continue to add up. It goes on to say, deferred treatment for cancers, kidney failures, and diabetes killed hundreds of thousands and created epidemics of cardiovascular disease and undiagnosed cancer. Unemployment shock is expected to cause an additional 890,000 deaths in the next 15 years. The lockdown disintegrated vital food chains, dramatically increased rates of child abuse, child suicide, addiction, alcoholism, obesity, mental illness, as well as debilitating developmental delays, isolation, depression, and severed educational deficits in young children. And the list goes on. We are not going to get to the opioid segment. And that's quite all right. It was kind of put in there just in case. I just want to thank you guys for listening. I want to just wish Grimner the best. I hear stuff, see stuff in the chat room. I don't feel comfortable being the one to share that stuff. So if you want to know what's going on with Grimner, please come in the chat room. You know, people will tell you, or there'll be stuff posted there. The last I heard, he was feeling great. That was yesterday. I didn't really hear today how he was feeling, but I saw some other news stuff going on there. If somebody eventually gives me the okay to be the one to share certain information, I'll do it. But in the meantime, I just wish him the best. I'm sending him my positive energy. And if I haven't said it enough, Grimner, thank you for the opportunity to be here on Real Liberty Media. And I look forward to seeing you guys again. Thank you so much. Hey, thanks for listening to the show here today with me, Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. I invite you to join us on reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz. If you're interested in learning the truth, if you're interested in learning about liberty, and I mean true liberty, and if you want to have some fun, come on over to reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz.
Thanks. Bye.